Hey everyone, it's Ian here. Just wanted to pop in with a brief introduction to the press roundtable you're about to watch for the movie Home, which is now playing in select theaters and available on demand. Actress Franka Potenta makes her feature directorial debut in this story about how intergenerational trauma infects a small town. When Marvin, played by Jake McLaughlin, returns home after 17 years in prison, he finds a community that won't let him forget his horrific crime. By taking care of his ailing mother Bernadette, played by Oscar winner Kathy Bates, and making some unexpected connections, Marvin begins the painful process of getting to know the world and himself again. You're about to see a critics roundtable with several colleagues, all of whom whose outlets you can find linked in the description. Definitely give them a follow, along with Franka Potenta of Run Lola Run and The Bourne Identity fame, Kathy Bates from Misery, Titanic, About Schmidt, and too many other iconic films to name, and Aisling Franciosi, who follows up her devastating performance in 2019's The Nightingale with an equally impressive and insightful turn as Delta, a young woman with a surprising connection to Marvin's crime. Just a few notes before we get started. One, you may notice a slight audio issue during the first couple of questions, which was quickly resolved. Two, there was a rotating panel of critics. There was actually three different sessions on this particular press day. So you might see some people, some cameras turning on and off and things shifting around. So hopefully that's not too distracting. And also, most embarrassingly for me, I mispronounced Aisling Franciosi's name. Particularly embarrassing because I actually interviewed her a couple of years ago and pronounced her name correctly then. I was going off Kathy Bates' pronunciation of her name, which she mentioned a couple of times during the roundtable. So I thought, well, maybe she knows something I don't, having, you know, filmed a movie with her and everything. But no, that situation was resolved. I was a little bit embarrassed, but, you know, I had to make a judgment call in about an eighth of a second. And I went with the Oscar winner. Oh, well. Oh, one last thing before I go. Keeping It Real's David Fowley and I actually did a review of Home, when you can check that out also on the Kicking the Seat YouTube channel. So now we're going to get to the roundtable. So I hope you enjoy it. Please like and subscribe to the channel and like the video and all that good liking and subscribing stuff. Ring the bell for notifications and definitely check out Home. It's a movie that I think a lot of people need to see. It's not getting a lot of attention or publicity, but it is available in select theaters and on demand. And I guarantee you're going to have a good time with this one. So without further ado, here are some of the talents behind Home, along with several talented critics and even myself. So enjoy.
Franka, how did the concept for this film come about?
How did the concept come about? Probably less conceptual than your question suggests. I don't know. I think it was the first script, full length script I've written. And I think as a writer of other things, I've just kind of been interested in, you know, less fortunate protagonists that, you know, are at a point of change in their life. Obviously I'm from a different world. I'm from Germany, small town as well. And I think I was kind of interested living in America. I was interested in, you know, what are the similarities of the world I'm tethered to still in my memories, coming from where I come from, and the worlds I'm interested in that I'm surrounded by. And trying to find these moments created Marvin and started creating the story of someone who made a terrible mistake and is still carrying the burden on it when he returns to the most trusted, most known place that he has in his life, which is his house, his home, his family, his remaining family.
Thank you.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go right ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there's a lot of... we have a visitor. Hi.
Yes, we have a visitor.
Franka, to pick up on that, you cram a lot of big themes into this movie: religion, masculinity, forgiveness, prejudice, small town living. Tell me about the process of wrestling all of that down into a really tight and engaging 90-minute film.
Is everyone else hearing this kind of monster voice in the background?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Somebody tech savvy knows how to. Anyway,
I'm glad it wasn't just me, because
I suspected it was you, but I don't think it's your fault. Sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. Sorry. No,
honestly, for me, we have Annie Wilkes from Misery in the room, so I hear this demonic voice, and I was like, I'm going to get hobbled. I know it.
So to answer your question, I think that honestly, I hope it doesn't feel crammed. I wasn't trying to cram big subjects. And I think that, you know, at least also from my knowledge, or I think a lot of adults that you know, try to deal with family or try to deal with unfortunate situations or stuff like that, you know, I think they're all connected, like on a necklace, you know, like little things on a necklace that you collect throughout life, you know, like the masculinity wasn't something that I was trying to jam in. I think I was just interested in a protagonist that, you know, was acting against the stereotype or the expected manliness that I know personally from a very tight space like the small town that I grew up in and that I know exists here as well. So that's that one for instance, you know. And I think if you talk about someone who returns, you know, to a brittle relationship with a parent after a long time and after doing something wrong, I think everything else is dragged with that. You know what I mean? So I think I just kind of let it unfold and see a little bit like where, what topics or, you know, what was there to tell about that moment in his life.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. When I say crammed, I don't mean that it was, you know, shoved inartfully into this box. After the film was over, I was thinking about it. I'm like, this covered a lot of ground really elegantly. And I was kind of amazed at how
well. I appreciate that you noticed. I appreciate you noticed the topic.
I can go next. Hello. Congratulations on the film. I really enjoyed it. Kathy, your performance was remarkable. And Franca, how does it feel to have your feature out into the world? And what was the process like from directing from a short film? Because you had that Digging for Belladonna back in 2006, and now you have your first feature film out. How does that feel?
Oh my God, so many different feelings. I mean, I don't know, like, you know, to have a film out in this point in time sucks, to be honest with you. It sucks. I wish I could say it in any other way. I mean, our film was finished like weeks before the world shut down. And as a not only as a first-time filmmaker, but as anyone involved, you know, that's not what you want, you know. And this sounds awful and selfish. And, you know, I've come to terms with it because I know a lot of people are in the same boat. What are we going to do, you know? But, yeah, so... is the film, or are we like in general, like where we thought we would be? Probably not. Okay. But yeah, I mean, and short film versus long film, honestly, a film to me is almost like you make a film, you make a film kind of. It just takes a little more energy and time to make the long one. But, you know, you have all the ingredients, the actors, the camera, the organization is really the same. So it was, I don't know. I guess why I didn't do it any earlier. I really enjoyed all these years ago to make the short film. And I think acting got in the way, or life, or I don't even remember, but I really, really loved the process. And it was still great to be able to do it, you know?
Of course. Sure. And Kathy, could you explain how you got involved with the process and how you were able to connect with your character in the film?
Well, I was always start from the script, and I was really taken by this relationship. For me, thinking back to the tragedy at Columbine, and only hearing from, I believe his name was, I'm not sure his first name, Klebold. Was it Darren Klebold?
Dylan
Klebold. It was years before his mother really came out and talked about what her experience was. And it got me thinking that we rarely hear what the parents go through. And so I looked up online a lot of examples of what these parents go through when their son or their child has committed a heinous crime, and how then the parents are looked at as being accomplices almost. Mm-hmm. And because recently with the Gabby Petito case, how the parents of Brian Laundrie were vilified because they wouldn't talk to the press, they wouldn't talk to anyone, and came under a cloud of suspicion. And yet stories rarely focus on what the parents go through. And so that's what fascinated me about it.
Does anybody else want to go?
Yeah, yes. I've got some questions, but yeah, Paul, do you want to go? Sorry.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And hello, Kathy from Dallas, Texas. I know you've
Hi. Here. My old alma mater there.
Yes, in a movie theater, no less.
Yes.
Yes. But we all three of you have made things that have been touching and that have shown that art means a lot to people, especially in this time when we're all stuck inside and, you know, all we have is our great movies and music and TV to keep us sane. And so that's inspiring to people. And so for the people at home that have watched something like this that hit them and it makes them want to do what you do, what would each of you say to someone that wants to do what you do?
Aileen, why don't you jump in?
Depends what mood I'm in when I answer this kind of question. I really think exactly what you hit on, what's important is what's driving you to do it. Like, why do you want to do this job? And I think for me, and I think for the rest of us on this call, it's really about doing something meaningful. You know, if you're it's what you're lucky to do, I think, if you get to do a film like this that is trying to say something, explore big ideas. But for me, that really has to be the reason I'm doing it. It's not for just being in the movies. It's, I guess, us on some level trying to understand what makes us human and the complexities of that. And as you say, being able to have an effect on how someone feels after they watch something you've been a part of is a huge privilege. I think, you know, as an actor, I think sometimes you look outwardly and I think musicians, wow, to be the soundtrack to someone's life must be amazing. But then I've had that experience too when I watch a film that I think, wow, I felt really seen, or I feel like this has made me really reconsider how I always view the subject. And so I would say to anyone who wants to do it, make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons, because it can be really, really, really hard, really hard path to go on. And so make sure that the reason you're doing it is enough to kind of keep you inspired to want to keep searching for the right kind of work and hang in there.
Sort of picking up on that, Aileen, we spoke a couple of years ago about The Nightingale, and you said that what attracted you to that script, one of the things, was its connection to humanity and the importance of trying to be good to one another. Home addresses some of these similar themes, and I wonder if you could talk about how your perspective on humanity and the idea of doing well by others may have evolved or changed after having done these two similarly themed but very different films.
That's a really good question, and it's actually like what Kathy said, I was drawn to this project not only because Frank was a part of it, but because of the script. And it's, you know, I think sometimes it can be easy to talk about empathy and the importance of it, which I really believe in. But then I wondered, well, it's well and good for me to talk about it, but how would I actually feel about redemption and about forgiveness, things that I really believe in, and second chances, if it was actually me or my family member that was the victim of it, in a sense? And, you know, I think we all talk about the importance of second chances in society, but then when you're in that position where you are the one who has to grant this person forgiveness, how do you grapple then with not just granting them this forgiveness for yourself, but also from your family, especially when it has become so much a part of the remaining family, like it's so much a part of the identity of the family. And in you so forgiving someone could really undermine the relationships within your own family because of that. So I really liked the complexity of that and how you would grapple with it if you really came down to the crunch and had to forgive someone who had inflicted so much hurt on your family.
Cool. I have a question that's, it's sort of directed at Franca, but it extends to all of you. So one of the things that I really noticed and loved about this film was I like movies that toss complex questions out there, but don't try to give us simple answers. And the movie never really there's never any concrete or really specific explanation given as to why Marvin did what he did. And I think of a film like American History X, which was a very good film, but it dealt with similar themes of being in prison for a long time and this horrible crime in the past. But it spoon-fed you exact reasons why all of this happened and everything. This left it much more open-ended. So I guess my question is both, Franca, was that something that you deliberately set out for, was to leave it a little bit vague? And also my question to Aileen and Kathy as actors is, why do you think he did it? Or did you think about that?
I think it's a lot of things that we've touched upon as a reason. I think that if you really sat down after you watched the film and really thought about it hard, like you would, you know why he did it. And I think I'm never explaining it because, of course, I had to, like, you know, I had that narrative in my head. I knew that he committed a crime that was completely pointless, as they are sometimes, or are in general, that there was not a real motive behind it, as it happens sometimes. I just wanted it to be really unnecessary and not so concrete as to where it came from, rather than, you know, it was his circumstance that, you know, I didn't want to be so specific because I wanted us to get the feeling that we were all in it, right? Like his whole environment is the reason why. And I felt very strongly, and I feel like that many times with films like this that disclose the reason why, that it starts to override kind of what I really wanted people to spend time with and see. It gives you almost like a way out because it becomes kind of has a thriller element that kind of invites us as the audience or as people to kind of start judging. Like, okay, well, if that's what he did and how he did it, then I feel like this about that. And it kind of gets into the way of just kind of watching things unfold on just a human emotional level, because our own emotions get in the way and what we think is right or wrong. And I just kind of didn't want the audience to do that, I guess.
Sure. And I loved how non-judgmental the film was, in that each of the characters had flaws, but they also had, I mean, Russell, for example, just when I'm thinking, I just don't like this guy. Then you see him babysitting and I saw a very human element and realized this is just a guy and he did lose his grandmother. So it kept me really thinking and feeling.
Well, it's like all the actors brought something to the table that, you know, for instance, the way Ash played her character was like she immediately from the beginning implemented like the strength that was protective of herself, of Delta. There's always this luring thing about her that she kind of knows she's not much better, but she's protecting a space inside of her towards her brother. But in general, she reserves herself space to make her own judgment until the very end, kind of, you know, like she insists that she's not sure. And that's like the really the hardest place to be in, but she chooses to linger there. And watching her bring that to the table was really something that enriched the character so much more. That was like that, not on the page. That was a choice that made Marvin also so much richer and more complex, that he was meeting her and that they were actually connecting on, you know what I mean? And later when she has the scene with Bernadette and, you know, and Bernadette and forgives, like, it's just so much more when you've seen these characters, you know, bring their little, these unspoken things to the table. And I was so fortunate to have these actors that they came with it. It's nothing I did. I wish. they brought it. They had thought about it, you know? I just made space for it, honestly. Totally, you know? But they brought it and lingered in places that were maybe uncomfortable, you know? Sorry, I totally veered off, but.
No, that's great.
Take the compliment.
Yeah.
But
on that same note, when you have to go in those roles that are sort of darker and or maybe in a completely different person than you actually are, what kind of headspace do each of you have to go into to perform in that space?
That question for me?
Yes, actually, for all three of you have had to do that.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, for me, I spoke to Franca very early on that because Bernadette has not seen her son in 20 years, that I didn't want to meet Jake. And I didn't even speak to him when I came on set for us to do our first scene. And that when we sat down at the table, we were lucky to shoot in order. So when I sat down at the table, we really didn't know each other. And so we went through the first scene, and then he started to talk to me, not as my character. And I said, let's not get too chummy, you know, because I wanted, and what was wonderful about our schedule and about the way Franca set everything up was that we were able to develop our characters very slowly as we would have as a mother and son coming together after all those years, because I think that Bernadette hoped that she would die before he got home.
So was that some genuine competition during that slapjack game at the kitchen table?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I was like, why are we playing this game? And I said, then that means they're touching each other. And Franca said, yes, they are.
I remember that day.
Can you discuss how it was like with working with little Ray Howery? Because I love those scenes, Kathy, that you're with. And Ainsley, I wish you got to be in more scenes with Lorraine, because he's like a part of the film that's like very human, and he's able to connect with Jake so easily in that bar scene. I really love that bar scene a lot. So can you discuss what was it like working with him? Because he's had a lot of comedic roles recently. So how was it like working with him for a dramatic level?
Well, he was very focused. He wanted to stay in his character. He didn't want to joke around. And in fact, I think we were pushing him to be that same kind of funny guy off set. And when he wasn't, we kept saying, are you okay? Are you okay? And he wanted everybody to say, leave me the fuck alone. I'm okay. I want to play, you know, I want to stay in this. So he was very committed and very serious about it. And I had seen him do stand up, so I knew how funny he is. And also in his Get Out, I just loved mm-hmm. that character. But I felt I had it was very easy. And I was worried about getting in the tub and all of that, but I had no sense of a discomfort with him. I felt a real ease with him right away.
So a question for both Kathy and Ailing, or is it Ailing, Ashling?
It's asking, yeah, but
actually, that's what I thought, but I would just wanted to be
sorry,
sure.
I got it wrong.
It's a crazy style, don't worry.
I come from an Irish background, so I guess, sorry, I just blanked on my question. I want to hear from you. Franca says that it was nothing she did, that you guys brought it to the table. How do you feel about that? How was she to work with as a director? And before I answer that, I just have to say, Kathy, it's very strange to talk to you over Zoom. I keep thinking that I'm working for Dunder Mifflin or Sabre, and then I'm about to be fired.
Yes, there is that. Ash, you go first on that one.
Franca was obviously being way too generous with that, but I love working with Franca. I think it makes a huge difference when a director has acted. It doesn't mean that they have to have been an actor themselves, but maybe even taken a couple of classes or something. But obviously we were in the lucky position where Franca has acted a ton. So it just means that there's a shorthand there, I think. And she really, not only did we get, you know, versions of just what was on the page, but she allowed some space for us to improv around them and was very free with her scripts. You know, there are some writers who like not, there's an there, I want you to say it. Whereas Franca was like, you know, make it your own, make it feel real, make it feel like it's Delta. I want you to do what you need to do to make it feel authentic. So yeah, I wouldn't say that she didn't do anything and that we just bought it at the table. She really made a really fun environment for, well, fun when it needed to be fun, and then obviously very supportive when it needed to be supportive. But she just allowed a space, which you don't always get actually on a set. And that is, I find that it's frequently kind of in that air where there's a bit of space to play around that you find the more interesting notes in the scene. So yeah, I felt very lucky that she kind of understood that from the beginning and let us do our thing. And yeah, it was really fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is you know, I hope I've got the train of the question there. What I liked about working with Franca on set is that what we're talking about at this point, I think, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that she was very forceful. She was very full of joy. She didn't have an ego about the piece or how it should be done. She was always very gentle with us. There was a scene that we felt needed to change. And she, I remember going in and we just sat on the floor like kids and we, you know, worked on the scene and she was very open to it. But I think for my money, when I watched the film, and this was the scene that you were in, Ash, was during your class with everyone on stage. And I thought that was so, that really got to the kernel and the essence of what the film is about, to have him in people's hands and yet moved in different places. And, you know, he was going in places he had to trust. And he to me, that said everything about what kind of a director Franca is, because she's saying it was something so unusual. And yet it says everything about what this film is about, what the core of the film is about. So for me, that was evidence that she was the kind of director that I perceived on screen. I mean, working with her off screen, I mean.
Thank you so much. That's really awesome.
Well, thank all of you. I believe we're at time here. So yeah, this has been a big pleasure. So thanks very much. And congratulations on the film.
Thank you. Congratulations on the film.
Thank you, Kristen. Thank you.